All right, recording. 3, 2, 1. Welcome to Balance, Wellness, and Solutions with Courtney Ciccoletti. My name is Christopher David, and I am the host of the Advice Unfiltered podcast, and also a number one best-selling author who wrote a book and personal trainer. And I don't know.
Woo! I love it. You were the announcer today for the first time ever and the host of the
Thank
show. I am so excited to have you on, Chris. I can't wait
you.
to dive into some fun and exciting topics. I can't wait to talk about your book. But how I found you on social media, that voice, that good morning, that positive everyday speaking words of truth and wisdom to all of us, that the easiest follow button I ever clicked, and you inspire me every day. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. That's right.
I
Thank
thank
you.
you. So let's
Now
dive
you see,
in.
now you can tell everybody that my voice is real, right? Because everybody's like, oh, fake. And I'm faking it all the time. It's so funny. So funny when they say that. They're like, oh, this guy's faking it. It's his morning voice. Let's just say it's what, 7:30 at night? It's not
Totally.
morning. Still my voice.
Those boys. There's no machinery. There's nothing there. It's
No,
true. It's
just
the
me.
real Chris David.
Right?
Unfiltered.
Right. Unfiltered, unfiltered. That's right.
I love it. So I want to talk about, let's start with your story. Let's talk about your book. It was never just about me, the journey that saved my life. So I read your book a couple of weeks ago, and oh my gosh, it gave me all of the feels. My mouth dropped open a couple of times, was like, oh my gosh, like, wow, like I needed to hear this right now in my life. Just trusting the universe and trusting God and just the words we speak, the thoughts that we have, all of the actions that we do, how they affect what actually happens in our lives. And for you were like at rock bottom and take over, tell your story.
Yeah, no, I you know, yeah, it was so it's funny, it's like, where do you begin? You know what I mean?
Right?
Yeah, so I wrote the book. I titled it "It Was Never Just About Me," because it's not. I realized on my journey after I lost everything in my divorce and I was homeless and suicidal. And had just negative thoughts and everything else, and I was on a very bad path. That is like accountability. Like, here's the biggest thing that nobody wants to do, and nobody wants to do this, right? We'd rather tell it's the world's fault. The world's coming at me. The world hates me. I got an unfair life. My parents were mean to me. You can think of a thousand reasons, a thousand excuses of why your life is where it's at, right? But if you really want to be honest with yourself. And honest about growing as a person, right? As much as all those things, like the abuse of the parents, or the abuse of siblings, or the neglect, or have your heart broken by somebody you love, your kids taken from you for no reason, all these things that could possibly happen. That you're right, they suck, they're terrible, they shouldn't have happened, right? They shouldn't have happened. It's terrible and it's traumatic that it happened to you. At the end of the day, though, as much as those things are all horrible. You have a choice how you respond to all of them, right? And unfortunately, a lot of us, and I know I'm one of them, made a lot of unhealthy and unwise choices, right? And so, as much as like I wanted to blame people in my life for things that happened to me, or me being raised how I was raised and all this stuff, and again, all of it was bad, right? I'm not taking away from anybody's trauma, right? It is bad, but. If you give the power to the trauma, then you're never ever going to grow and heal, right? So the truth of the matter, the fact is, and this is the God's honest truth, is that you have the ability to create and change your life by making choices that are better for you. Are they easy? No. Is taking accountability easy? No, not at all, man. Not one bit. And do you have to heal from the trauma? 100%. But again, that's your responsibility, right? It's your responsibility to heal from that trauma, to want to heal from that trauma, right? So I wrote the book, because I realized, that I had to take accountability. And when people see me, and you see it on the internet all the time, when people see me, they think, oh, this guy's had an easy fucking life. This guy, I was this guy wasn't abused. This guy had his born with a silver spoon in his mouth, which none of that's true. None of that's fucking true at all.
No, big book.
Yeah, if you read the book, you see and then also like I'm a big advocate for men's mental health and for domestic violence on both sides, right? Because I think a lot of men, there's a lot more men that get abused mentally and physically, especially now, in the society we live in, that's unspoken. And I think
Absolutely.
that's why I think the suicide rates are so high for men, because there's no freedom for them to be men, one. And two, to have the ability to be able to talk about, being hit by a woman, being told you're a piece of shit by somebody you care about, being told that you're not a good father, that your kids are better off if you're dead or whatever, like things that are said to people in the heat of rage. A lot of it, and some both sides, but for men, there's no accountability on one side, right? So all those words carry weight, all of them, right? And I wouldn't let them know they're not alone. So when I wrote the book and I said it was never just about me, because it's not. My story is your story. Like my story, my life is your life. Like I've been through it all, right? So there's going to be a piece in that book that you're going to be able to relate to on a whole level, right? And so my whole thing when I was done my journey is I just wanted to let people know they weren't alone. And in my mind, when I wrote the book, I didn't think it'd be a bestseller. I've never done a promotion thing. Like, I've never gone out. I never promoted it on my social media, like paid for promotions. I never did, signing the books. I never went to Barnes and Noble. I just let it be what it is, right? And I thought to myself that there's gonna be somebody out there that's gonna read it, and they're gonna change the world, right? That person right there is gonna be inspired and go like, all right, you know what? I got this. And that's what my whole thought process was. So I wasn't happy if I sold one. Like I really was just like, if I sell one, that's amazing, right? I never thought it'd be a bestseller. I'm very grateful, I'm very honored that it is. It's crazy. It's nuts, but it's very cool. So I just hope it helps. That's my biggest thing, man. I just want people to know they're not alone.
What you just said several things that were so powerful. And the first thing is that just somebody reading your words, reading about your life, and inspiring them to change the trajectory of their day, which for me, I was going through a crazy situation when I read that book. Something was happening in my life that I had no control over, and I was my who I usually I mean I work with my clients to help control their nervous system and keep them so, and I was going through something that I was like, oh my gosh, and it kind of helped ground me to say, why are you, this isn't going to help the situation any, is the first part of it. But the second part of it is, even when we talk about men and men's mental health and wellness, it's not talked about enough, because it's looked at as a weakness for a man to have anxiety or depression. And it's like, we live in a society that's kind of jumbled right now. And it's when we talk about masculinity and when we talk about anxiety and depression and just being at an all-time, high for everybody, both men and women. And a lot of times, if you're either one extreme or the other, and if you're a, a man's man, and you talk about that, it's not talked about. It's like whatever. Or like you just said, domestic abuse, things like that. We don't think about that. You hear domestic abuse, and all of a sudden, you instantaneously think, oh, a woman being abused by a man, and it works both ways, right?
Well, yeah, well, here's the thing too, right? So they say, and again, I'm not taking anything away from women being domestically abused. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. It does happen.
Agreed.
I'm not defending that at all, right? What I'm saying is that I think there's more cases of men that are physically and mentally abused in a relationship, that the reason the suicide rate is so high is because it's not talked about, right?
Yep.
It's not brought to an attention, right? So women are really good. Listen, women are really good at organizing and talking about their problems and letting everybody know. Like, you know what I mean? So men suck at that. Men suck at organizing. Men suck about making groups of a community to help each other, right? And that's our fault. That's partially our fault. And that's another reason I talk about it, right? Because like I was a bouncer, like I did security. I mean, I was cut, I was shot at, I was in very violent situations back in my early 20s, right? And I throw out guys twice my size. But when you look at, if I sat there at 39 years old and told you that my 5'2" wife was punching me in the face every day and telling me that I'm a piece of shit, like, if I tell a woman that, one, you're gonna say, oh, that sucks, but you're gonna look down on me. You're gonna feel a certain different way about me. And if I tell a man, the man, if I tell a guy, they're gonna be like, oh man, we'll handle that shit, or fucking, what are you doing? Stop being a. And you can't, like, I'm sorry, like, as if you want to be a good man, When a woman comes at you physically, because you are bigger. Like, I know how to fight. Like, if we can, I'm not going to hit back. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. If we can, and so you keep your integrity that way. But at the same point in time, it breaks you down mentally and emotionally, right? So for me, just talk about it and bring it up. I just want to. I'm not afraid to say it. Like, I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not afraid if we can own it. I know who I am. I know I'm a good man. I know I'm a good father. And I just think that if more men were free enough to have that conversation, because it is like, listen, men care about the words they say, the women say to them, or their significant other. I should say the significant other. Their significant other says to them, right? We care. We give a shit. It sits in the back of our mind. We might not say it at the moment, but those weights carry heavy, right? Especially if you love somebody, they carry hard because you want them to be happy, right? And if you're being made to feel like all you're doing is making them upset all the time, then that carries a long weight in you, especially being a father, So that's the whole reason. I just want people to know they're not alone. In this big, vast universe, this planet, this blue marble we're rolling on, just taking accountability for who we are, and making choices, right? The right choices, even though they're difficult. Like, honest to God, if you would have told me 10 years ago, or 9 years ago, that I'd be doing speeches at a college for mental health, and I would have over 1 million followers on my platforms combined, that people actually cared about what I was saying or read my book, I would have said you're crazy, right? Like, I'm just some guy from Olney, Pennsylvania, that grew up on a farm. But I made a
But you're
choice, right? I
not,
mean,
but you're not, but look at how many people you inspire every day. Like,
yeah.
it's incredible. And it's like we just said a few minutes ago, if one person just reads my book and that changes their life, like just imagine how many people that person's life and what their good deed
Yeah,
and
that was the whole
goes,
thing, right?
it just goes on and on, and
Yeah.
it's what you do comes back to you, right? So it's like, one good deed, it comes back to you in another way. I firmly believe that. And the laws of
Believe
attraction,
karma is
the
real.
universe.
I believe that what you put out there is what you get back, right? Yeah, and it goes back to the whole mindset, right? So my whole point with the whole thing was that you can control your mind. You can control the thoughts you say to yourself. We're taught how to read. We're taught how to write. We're taught how to do math. We're never taught how to think, right? We're never taught how to control our thoughts, patterns, right? So when trauma happens or something happens, we get dopamine spikes, we react and we run, and we react and we run and we turn to things. And instead of actually learning that, like, okay, so this happened, breathe. I am okay. I'm literally okay. I'm fine. Like, I'm fine, right? Nothing. I'm not dying. Nothing's going on right now that is out of this world of my scope of being, right? So taking that thought, slowing it down, and understanding that what you change a perspective on, there's always opportunity to struggle, but you change your perspective on it. All right, so this is happening. How am I going to react to that? Am I going to react to that? Words don't have life until you put breath into them, right? So what people say or people do, or things that you read about, especially like when it comes down to politics or anything, when you read about these things that you see on the news, is it directly affecting you that you need to react a certain way, right? Or are you okay? Are you okay? You're literally okay. Like, a lot of the stuff that we internalize our own trauma and damage and project it everywhere, and it causes pain to everybody, right? One of the things I love about what I do is everywhere I go and every time I see somebody, they smile when they see me because they know I'm going to smile and be happy to see them, right? And it's infectious, right? Just like saying, I say I believe in you, right? That's one of my key words, right? I say I believe in you. I believe in the best in you, right? Because I truly believe that we don't say that enough to each other, right? And
Agreed.
then the first step of any journey, of the 10,000 steps of becoming a master, is believing you can make the 10,000 steps. Like, I said to myself 9 years ago that I'm going to kick the door in, right? That I'm going to make sure everybody knows who the hell I am. And I'm going to make the biggest impact in this world, that when I pass away, all my kids are going to hear is your dad was a good man.
I love
That's all
that.
they're going to hear, right?
Love it.
That's all. I don't care how I'm going to, and I had no game plan. I had no idea what I was doing. But I'm here. It's happening, right? It's all happening. It's all of it's happening because and like, I just turned down like a show that I could have been on, and I literally told them, I said, listen, it's just not the right show for me right now. And I'm going to be honest with you, whether I get this one or not, I'm going to get something. Something's going to happen. Just like I told Tony, my co-host of Advice Unfiltered, I told him 9 months ago when we met. We've only known each other for 9 months, right? We began and we started our first podcast. We started the podcast a month after we met.
Love it. I love that podcast.
What's that?
I love your podcast. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. So, yeah. So, but we see the podcast. You think me and him have been friends forever,
Yeah,
right?
absolutely.
And, but we sit there, we talked. I told him, Tony didn't know nothing about me. Didn't know, didn't follow me on social media. Just knew I was a trainer at the gym. And I was a good trainer. Put it out there. I was a good trainer at the
Of course you
gym.
are.
Well, he was copying my workouts. That's how we started talking. We see he started copying my workouts. I was like, dude, what are you doing? You know what I mean? He's like, ah, you imitate the best. You know what I mean? I'm
What
like,
are
ah,
you
good
doing
call.
over there? What
Yeah,
are you
yeah.
doing
So
over
dude,
there?
but he was gonna do a podcast with his wife. And I told him that's a great idea, right? If he should definitely do that if he wants to do his wife, he has a great relationship with his wife, Regina. Great, beautiful couple. But I said, man, I said I have this really good idea for a podcast. I was like, you know, and I said, you don't know me, but I give you my word. I was like, give my word. If you trust me and you do what I tell you to do, right? And we do this show the way I think it should be done, it's gonna take off. And now we just won the Listener's Choice Award. So, you know what I mean? 37 episodes later. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, which is
Amazing.
crazy.
I
It's crazy,
love it.
right? So yeah.
Congratulations. It's
Thank
amazing.
you. Thank you. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I'm pretty stoked, man. I'm happy. Yeah. But it's gonna take off, it's gonna be big. So my whole point about all of that is what I tell everybody is whether you believe in God or not. Right, whether you believe in a higher power or whatever you believe in, if we pass on our DNA to our children, right, that's what we do. We pass down our DNA, our genes, our good and our bad, everything with our kids, right? Well, if we're created in God's image, right, if we're cre or if it wouldn't be about creation, we're created in the image of the universe by atoms. We were still given the ability to create. Why would the creator not pass down those same genes to us,
Absolutely.
right? To us. So we think about, you know, creation on this large scale and creating the universe and stuff like that. But literally, you know, he gave us a freedom of individual choice, right? Choose your path, you know, choose the life you want to live. The universe doesn't know if your thoughts are good or bad. It just knows you have those thoughts, right? So if I think I can't, right? Whether I can or can't is up to me. Right? Like Shakespeare says, you know, to be or not to be. Do you choose to be alive or do you choose not to be? Right? It's a choice, you know, and you literally have, and I'm living proof of that. Like you literally have the ability. And this is what all the rich people and all the famous people all have in common, right? This is what they all have in common, is they truly understand that they believe this is where they need to be. This is where they want to be, right? And they get there because they don't falter from that. They believe in that. So you, Courtney, and everybody that's listening, you honest to God have the ability to create the world you live in by changing your perspective of your world, right? And doing that, right? You know, I mean, how God, you know, for example, I had 3,498 followers in February. That's what I had, 3,498 followers on Instagram.
And what, this past February?
Yeah, this past February,
Okay.
and I'm almost at 700. I'm almost at 700,000 right now. I've gone up almost 100,000 a month, right? And I have not bought or paid for any advertisement. I haven't done any promotions, nothing. Just
So amazing.
yeah. Same thing with TikTok. From TikTok, I went from 248,000 to 700 and something thousand, and same with Facebook. I went from 40,000 to 243,000. All this is growing and expanding. I mean, I have celebrities that are following me and messaging me now that I used to watch when I, you know, my 20s and stuff, which is crazy, right? That they
Oh
know me this
my
much,
God,
right?
that's like super cool. Yeah.
It is cool, man. It is very cool. And I'm grateful for it all. I'm very humbled and grateful for it all. I do not forget where I came from, but my whole point is that all this is happening. All of this is happening. I just got asked to be on a rhino safari where I get to go help protect rhinos. You know what I mean? Like freaking, which is crazy, right? But all of these
Amazing.
opportunities, all these things are happening to me because I truly believe this is where I need to be. This is where I need to go. This is what I'm doing, you know? And there's
Amazing.
nothing different between you or me. Nothing. Nothing. It's just the choices that we choose to believe in, you
It's,
know?
you're 100% correct, and I know that I go through different phases. It's almost like the, oh, and it rains, it pours, and wah, wah, wah. And I feel like when I get myself into, oh, something bad happens, and exactly like we were even talking before we hit the record button of I can and I'm going to versus, oh, not going to get there. Those words and those, they mean everything. And I know the times in my life when something bad happens and I start to play kind of the victim of like, oh, this is such a hard time. And then you focus on that one thing that's going wrong. And then, yeah, when it rains, it pours. Everything else seems to be so negative, and you're speaking the negativity and you're dwelling on the negative. But when the good things are happening and you're embracing them and you're like, yes, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing next. I'm putting my word on it and I'm doing it. Everything happens. And I know that I've been through those different places in my life at different times. And sometimes it takes like reading your book to like snap it out of me. Like you said, I had this weird thing going on and I was like, it just came out of the blue. It was a curveball, professionally
Well,
as well as
that
relationship.
goes back to my other point as far as I call it mental kung fu, right? That's what I call it, mental kung fu, right? My nickname back in the day used to be Kung Fu Chris, so I name it mental kung fu, right? So that the heaviest words, the heaviest weights you're ever going to carry are the words you say to yourself on a daily basis, right? And unfortunately, we're taught that, like, if something, like you just said, if something goes wrong, you dwell on it all day, right? Sucks. I can't believe this happened. All day. You will spend 2 or 3 days on that shit, right? Suffering through that, right? But when something great happens, something amazing happens, you might give yourself 10 seconds where you're like, oh, that was amazing. And then you're back on to the next thing, right? And that's where you have to train your mind like you do a muscle, right? So when you have those moments of ex that are exponentially amazing, or and then things to be grateful for, you need to hold them, dwell in them, feel them, right? So part of my whole training the last 9 years is when I get up in the morning, I think of like 10 things to be grateful for. And I literally let myself feel them
Yes.
for a couple seconds each, right? Like, I'm grateful that my family's healthy. I'm grateful that my kids are healthy. I'm grateful that I have hair on my head. I'm grateful that it can be something that simple,
Great
right?
hair.
Right. I have gray hair. I mean, you can, like, we just something that's simple though. That's something that's just that easy. Like, I'm grateful my pillows are comfortable. Like, just feeling those moments of gratitude, right? Just feeling those moments of gratitude and holding them changes your whole energy field, right? And then combating those negative thoughts. Like, so you got to find your trigger spots, right? So for me, I had triggers, right? Triggers that made me want to drink, triggers that made me want to do drugs, triggers that made me want to hurt myself and not feel good about me, right? I had triggers, right? I had to recognize those triggers. I had to identify those triggers. And then once I identified them, I had to figure out why they triggered me. Right? Why did that trigger me? Oh, well, this happened to me. I haven't healed from that yet. I need to look at that and go, oh, I'm 25 years ago, I shouldn't be holding on to this. I need to forgive that person. I need to forgive me for not dealing with it in that moment. And really giving yourself the same love and compassion as if you give to somebody else, right? Like, say you're with somebody, say you're dating with somebody, they told you something traumatic would happen. You would hug them, you would tell them you love them, you tell them that you're going to get through this. So you need to do that to yourself. You need to look at yourself and be like, you know what? I can give myself that same compassion, that same understanding, that same unconditional love that I would give to some other human being right here, if they were sitting right here telling me about the trauma, right? So why should we not do that for ourselves?
Right.
That right there is the key. It's the basis. It's the bottom core of it all, right? The moment you do that, everything else exponentially changes, right? So then when something else traumatic happens to you, guess what? It doesn't trigger to you. You're not triggered anymore. You heal from that. You can see it for what it is. Like, I've been in relationships where, like, I see them trying to manipulate a reaction out of me, right? Because I've been in these relationships before. I don't feed into those anymore. I set boundaries, right? Right. So I set those boundaries for myself. So I learned from that, right? The old Chris would have fell into that hole and like, wow, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Stop. You stop that stuff. So if you really want a happy life, if you really want to change your life, and I mean this, it all starts with you changing your perspective of your reality of who you are. And that's the scary part, right? The scary part is understanding that, oh my God, I've had this power the whole time and I fucking wasted it,
Right.
right? I haven't done shit with it. Like, oh my God, I had this ability. You get imposter syndrome. Do I deserve this? Am I allowed to feel this, right? Because if whatever traumatic stuff happens to you, it holds you in that spot of like a victim, right? It's
Yes.
safe there. You're comfortable there. Your
Yep.
brain is like, your muscles, right? You get sore because you made your muscles uncomfortable, right? You broke down the muscles, you made uncomfortable. Well, your brain doesn't like to be uncomfortable. It likes to keep it in a nice, safe place, right?
Yep.
And so
In the comfort
you have to
zone.
can't. Yeah. Well, that's why I tell people they usually have two voices in their head, right? Usually two. So
Hopefully.
hopefully only two. Some have more, but usually they have two, right? So you have your ego mind, which keeps you safe and conformed, right? It keeps you in that safe spot of not growing, not changing. Everything stays the same. You know, every day's rainy, gloomy, and mediocre, right? And then you have your spirit mind, which is the first voice you hear when you ask yourself a question, but we choose to ignore it, right? Like you'll sit there and go, "Oh, what should I do today? What should Courtney do today?" And you're like, "Ah, maybe I should go to the beach." You know, even though, and then your mind will kick in, "Oh, well, you know what? You got this work to do. You got this work to do. You got that to do." And then you stick to that norm, right? What changed that day? Nothing. Did you grow as a person?
Nope,
No.
nothing.
Did you evolve mentally, spiritually, emotionally? No. Right? But I guarantee you, if you went to the beach that day, you would have changed. You would evolve mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. Something would have happened. You would have met somebody. My book's about literally, that's what my book's about, right? I literally listened to my voice, that spirit voice, kill the old Chris, kill the ego Chris. Because the ego Chris is what got him to marry somebody that was toxic, that got him into situations where he was drinking and doing drugs. That Chris had to die, right? That Chris, ego-minded Chris, was had to die. I had to listen to spirit Chris, which is scary as fuck because that's new, right? And there's no game plan. You just have to trust. You have that faith. You have to trust, right? And which
And
is
that's
scary.
the hardest, yeah, it's the
Yeah,
scariest thing in the world. And that was
scary shit.
100% scary shit. And as I'm like reading your book, that was like, it was so inspiring because I mean, and you can talk about this a little bit more for those listeners that did not read your book and that really need to go. And we'll have that all in the show notes of the link and everything where on Amazon. But like, I was so It just was so inspirational. You just listened to your gut the whole time. Like you were just on this journey. So like talk a little bit more about the book. You started on this road trip and like literally like the people you met that should I go right or left? Okay, this is taking me here. And then you meet these people and they would tell you exactly you were supposed to be in that very moment at that same time. Like,
That crazy?
oh, like
Fucking, it's so when I talk about it, I still get goosebumps. It's so crazy to me. I was in my car at Walmart. It was snowing. It was January 3rd, I think it was, or 9th. It was 3rd or the 9th. I was going back 9 years ago, 10 years ago. But yeah, so forget the dog I had, O'Malley, God rest in peace. He knocked a book that I had that my buddy Bobby gave to me when I was 17, called The Power of Movement by Bob Klein. And it's a Tai Chi book. It's an amazing book. It's a really good book. I had it when I was 17. And he gave it to me. He used to have a temper. I had a really bad temper. So he gave me to help me relax, find my zen, right? And the dog knocked into my lap. And I was like, "Oh, well, maybe I'll read it." So I opened it up and I started reading. And in the first like chapter and a half, it talks about how if you're depressed, it's because you're living in the past, you know? And if you're anxious, it's because you're living in the future. And the truth of the matter of fact, you have control over neither one. No. But what you do have control over is the gift that you're given now. The present. It's a gift. It's truly a gift. You being present in this moment,
Yeah.
you right now have the ability in this moment to make a choice to change your life. You want to live in the past, but you want to be depressed, stay in the past. You can't do anything about the past. It's fucking gone, right? And your future's not here yet. So what am I anxious about yet? Nothing's happening. I'm sitting in my car at Walmart, snowing outside. Forget, you know what I mean? Like, what's happening? And it talks about how, and it talks about the ego mind, and it talks about the spirit mind, and how you need to trust, you know, yourself. He called it intuition. He called it intuition or whatever. I think intuition is a little different than spirit. I think intuition is a thought process of acknowledgement. Like you've been through something, and so when something else comes up that's similar, you have that intuition, right? That's what I think intuition is. Like spirit mind is when you put yourself in an uncomfortable position that you've never been in, right?
Yes.
I'm just telling you to go in this uncomfortable position, right?
Yes.
So I decided that you know, before I gave up for my kids, what kind of example did I want to leave them, right? Like, you know, if I hurt myself, That's the example I left for my kids, and I would never want my kids to hurt themselves because of me, right? Ever, right? And my kid thinks I'm Superman, you know what I mean? So I'm like, fuck that, you know what I mean? I'm not giving my kids an excuse to quit. I'm not doing that. I'm not giving them a reason to quit. I know life is hard, and I want them to fight battle, right? So the only way they're going to do that is if I live up to that example, right? So I decided, fuck it, I got nothing to lose. I'm already living out of my car. I might as well try this. One last thing. We'll try this. I tried everything else. None of it worked. But for once, trust me. My whole life, I based my decisions on what my family thought I should be doing, whatever girl I was dating thought I should be doing, and what their insecurities of what I should be doing is, what everybody else thought I was capable of, right? It was never what I wanted to do, right? Or what I thought I should be doing, or even trying to figure out who the fuck I was to do it, right? So I
Been
figured, fuck
there.
it.
Yes.
Yeah. So I figured, fuck it. You know what I mean? And again, that's the whole point, right? We all go through the same life lessons. We just have different teachers and different experiences, right? To go through those life lessons at different times in our lives, right? So I decided to go. So I ended up at Key West. I met this girl at a kiosk. She got me a place to stay in Key Largo. She knew a girl that owned a hotel for 3 nights for $80, which was insane, right on the water, And then I was sitting outside in the water looking at the water with my dog, and this lady came up and started talking to me. And she told me about this restaurant I could go to. That's about 40 minutes away. She knows the owner of the restaurant. I can take my dog there. She'll buy dinner. So I went and I met these two Belgian stewardesses that invited me back to their hotel room. And the things that got me to my ego side, right? My ego side, the things that got me to that point, the part of me that had to kill me was, I distracted myself with sex, drugs, and alcohol, right? So the old Chris would have been like, yeah, I've never been to Belgium. I like waffles. If you get, why not? But I realized that's what got me here, right? Those choices, those simple pleasures, those quick fixes, those things that distract me from the actual growth, right? Or what got me there, right? So I decided no, to go back to the hotel room. Next morning, I wake up to a knock at the door. It's a lady that I met the day before here. She's the owner of the hotel. Her and her husband live on the boat. And she had breakfast for me. And she had a sponge with crystals in it. And I'm not a big crystal person because it's not really my thing. But she told me I was there for the blue moon. What drew me there was that my energy was off and that I needed to get realigned. And I'm at the closest point I can get to the equator without taking a boat. So my energy was drawn here to get that magnetic energy, right? Now, being a martial artist, I'm like, you know what? I can see that. I can feel that. You know what I mean? We are made of water. And maybe she's right. Maybe she's onto something. You know what I mean? Like so far, everything's working, right? Like the chance to get a freaking hotel room on the water for $80 for 3 nights, that's insane. If you get and so yeah, I stayed for like 2 weeks. I worked, she let me rent jet skis and all this stuff, and then I decided I had to go on my path, right? Because as nice as Key West is, it's a party town, one. And two, I didn't feel like I was growing, right? It was easy. It was easy. I could have stayed there, could have got a houseboat to live on, could stay there very easily, right? Could very easily did that. But I knew that this is about my journey, right? This is about as close as I get to being an aboriginist, right? If we can do a walkthrough, a walkabout, right? If we get where they walk for thousands of miles to find themselves, right? Like this is what I need to do. I need to go do something different, right? So yeah, like I end up in Colorado, a month and a half later, I went to Alabama, went to Louisiana. And I just kept like making left, making right, whatever. And then up in Colorado and Manitou, Colorado Springs. If you've ever seen the trail, it's fucking insane. And I didn't adjust to the altitude at all. I woke up and I looked out my hotel window and I saw the trail. And I looked at my dog and I was like, yo, that's what we're doing today. And I went to go up that hill and I was dying,
I was
dying.
cracking up at that part in the book when you were like, this is crazy. The lady was passing you and you were like,
Yeah, the Asian lady passed me like three times. Yeah, I was like, God, are you done? I was like, it's like I feel like the biggest piece of shit right now. And it took me like 2 hours. It took me like 2 hours and 10 minutes to get up that freaking mountain, man. It was insane, right? But in that moment, I told myself, I said, no matter what I do on this trip, I'm coming back here. I'm gonna conquer this fucking mountain, man. I'm gonna fucking run up this fucking thing.
did.
And I did. And I did. I did. Forget, but I left there, and then up in Sedona, Arizona. And like I said, did martial arts for years, and I had these two Wooden Katana swords. And like I wasn't taught like doing anything fancy with them. I was taught how to fight with them, like how to pull it out, slice and dice, right? But I always thought it was cool how those guys like flip them up in the air and catch them and shit like that. So I was like, I'm gonna teach myself how to do that. So that's what I was doing. Like every time I stopped somewhere at a rest stop, I would run 2 miles, and then I would do sword katas for a little bit just to keep myself moving, right? Because I was living out of my car, out of my Honda. Freaking so I get on the top of this mountain in Sedona, and you know, someplace that was found on my own. And it wasn't even a trail, it was a runoff from the water that would come down when it would rain. So it wasn't even really a trail. And so we get to the top there and I'm doing like a sword cut up. And I drop my sword, it drops on the side of the cliff a little bit. So I go over again, and as I look over, there's this huge Buddhist temple in the middle of the desert, right? With
This is
shirka flags
the
hanging
goosebumps
from it.
part. This is the part where I got the goosebumps when I,
Yeah.
I keep going. Like, oh my
Yeah,
gosh.
it was crazy. It was crazy. So I'm like, well, maybe that's what I'm supposed to see. I mean, I'm up here reading the Tai Chi book, doing martial arts, and it just happens to be this Buddha temple with prayer flags and circus stuff hanging from it. Like, the
Because
hell, you
why
know?
wouldn't there be, Chris? I
But
mean,
yeah, why wouldn't
why
there
not?
be, right? Like, why wouldn't I find that 3 months later? You know what I mean? Like, in the middle of the desert. So I go down, and when I got there was nobody down there. There was nobody down there. And, but it was huge, this huge walk around area. So you're supposed to burn like incense, spin some wheels, walk around, and say prayers, right? So I started doing that. And the third time I came around, there was this majestic, I'll never forget her, man, this majestic black lady sitting there. I actually have a video of her in my one clip where I'm actually going like this with the camera, I'm panning around. You actually see her sitting on the seat, and she's sitting on this bench, and she's looking all majestic, back straight, wearing this beautiful garment, looking gorgeous, right? Just sitting there like this praying. And my dog goes over and starts peeing on the bench right next to her. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I run over and I grab my dog. And as I grab my dog, I lose it. I start bawling my eyes out like a baby. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I don't know what's going on. And she goes, no. She goes, wait, come here. She goes, have a seat. And she tells me to sit down. And it was so crazy when I think about this whole thing. And she tells me that she asked me why I was there. And I told her I didn't know. Same thing I told the other lady in Key West. I told her I didn't know. I said, I don't know why I'm here. I lost everything in my divorce. I'm just trying to find myself, you know, just trying to figure out what the hell I'm doing, man. Because everything I did before here didn't fucking work. Didn't work, man. You know, and if I want to be a good father, if I want to win back my family, I have to change this, right? So I'm just trying to figure it out, man. Like, I'm just trying to figure it out. And that's when she tells me that she I asked what brought her there. And she tells me she was a shaman. And she was supposed to be in Phoenix, Arizona that day, but she felt like she needed to be there. And she thinks it was to meet me and to tell me that I'm on the right path and that my energy is off and that there's a vortex here and that I was drawn here to realign my energy, but that I'm on the right path. Yeah, which is crazy. It's nuts. Like it was just the idea that, and this is what people, I think what people don't understand when you talk, it's easy to talk about, right? Because you're like, oh, that, you know, but the idea that I left 3.5 months before, and at the same exact moment, this woman's sitting there, two women, you know, the one in Key West and the one in Sedona, and moments that I questioned what I was doing. And because the whole time I got my ex-wife's lawyer calling me, you know, saying, where are you at? We need to mail you divorce papers. I got the bank calling me to repossess the car. I got
Somebody help
freaking,
me.
you know, I'm just trying to figure out how to eat. You know, I'm eating saltines off my floor, and I got all these people coming at me. You know, and my family's not talking to me. And the only person that believed in what I was doing was my oldest son Isaiah. He's the one that told me. He said, "Dad, go do what you need to do. Go fix yourself and come back." And he believed in me. You know what I mean? He totally believed in me. With that, I'm very, very grateful. But yeah,
Going.
so after reassuring myself, I was like, fuck, maybe I'm on the right path, man. Like maybe this is, you know, what are the odds of this, right? Like what are the odds? You know, I made a left, I made a right, and the exact moment I drop a sword, I meet a lady who tells me that she was sent there for a purpose, right? And she thinks it was to meet me. And then I hike from San Diego up to Lake Tahoe. I meet a couple in Lake Tahoe, it was like a month later. That are having this beautiful couple relationship, you know, and they're sitting there eating and whatever, and I'm sitting at a table and I'm petting my dog, and we've been eating for a couple of days at this point, right? If you can, and I don't ask him for anything, like I don't ask, but I saw the guy was outside shoveling, So I asked the guy, I said, "Yes, man, I'll shovel your whole parking lot or whatever, man, for like $20, just so if you can, like, my unemployment check doesn't come in for a couple of days. I had to buy some food for me, my dog, and and this couple heard me, and they bought me a burger and they bought my dog a burger, you know. And I felt like a big scumbag, you know what I mean? Like, there I am, fucking, like, basically being a bum, right? Like, there I am, like, people are helping me out, and fucking, I'd rather work for money, right? You don't have to give me money, or I'd rather work for it, right?" And so I told him my story. You know, I told him what I was doing. I was trying to find myself, and he literally looked at me. These people were rich. Literally looked at me and he go, "Wow, man, I admire you. I admire your bravery, what you're doing, right?" And I'm like, "Oh, it's nuts." Like, I don't know. Like, even my brother says this. My brother says he admires me for my bravery doing that, taking that journey. But it wasn't bravery. It was life or death. That's what it was. You know what I mean? I had a choice. You know. So I end up my phone dies in the Redwoods of Oregon. My phone dies and I have no cell phone data. So, fun fact, even though you pay for unlimited data, you can actually use all that data. You can actually use all that. Fun fact, didn't know that. So I used all my data. So I go to Best Buy, because I go see about getting another phone line or something, doing something, because I without the phone, nobody knows where I'm at, right? And if anything happens to me, I would send my son locations of where I was at. Because he was, so that way, if you didn't hear from me a couple of days, you knew something happened, right? So I'm in there, and I'll never forget, there's this blonde-haired, blue-eyed, vegan-looking kid. Again, it's like another month and a half later. Again, another point in time where I'm doubting myself, and I'm questioning, what am I doing? I'm 39 years old, 40 years old. I usually have a game plan. I should be getting a job. I should be back there fighting for my kid. I should be back there, blah, 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 doing all this stuff, right? But I knew I couldn't do any of that if I didn't fix me first, right? I couldn't fight for my kid right. I couldn't get a job right. I couldn't be where the father I wanted to be, or the man I wanted to be, unless I fixed myself. Well, if I went back now, it was all half-assed, right? I didn't do the work, right? I had to do the work. And so I go back, I go into Best Buy, and this blonde-haired, blue-eyed, vegan-looking kid who looked like he never did anything bad in his life. Like, nothing. Like, if I had to say, like, a walking looking, like, if I had to pick an angel, what it would look like, this kid was just missing fucking wings. Like, he hasn't done anything wrong in his fucking life, right? Like, he probably never even swore, this kid. And he comes up to me and he goes, "Man, this is sounding really weird." He goes, "But God told me to pray with you. He told me to tell you that you're on the right path." Yeah, it still hits me. That you're on the
No,
right path,
like
and
that.
that to keep going, to keep doing what you're doing, and that don't lose faith. So yeah, it still hits me. So yeah,
Me too.
so I knew at that moment, man, when I drove away from that Best Buy, that I was, this is bigger than me. That this whole thing was bigger than me. It was bigger than me. Like, this whole journey, this whole experience, this whole thing, was bigger than me. And I had to share it because somebody out there would read this book and they would be inspired.
And you
Yeah.
inspired me,
Hold
and I
on
cried
one
at
second.
that
Hold
part.
on. Let's catch one second. Sorry.
Love your realness. I love your transparency. I love it all because guess what? Like that part in the book, I was like bawling my eyes out too. And that was that like the fourth person that literally said to you, "Your energy is off. Your alignment's off." That literally. Like it was just like you kept hearing the same thing every time you trusted your gut where to go, and somebody would say the same thing. And it was just,
Yeah.
I mean, again, for in my own way, in looking at your story and how awesome it was, and just relating it to myself, and it just was like it was so powerful. And I don't know, like this was coming on at the end of your journey, and you were like wow, like I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And even
Yeah.
though there was a million reasons for you to give up that entire journey, like you just said, a million reasons to say, I'm such a bum. I'm living out of car. I'm doing this. I've got all these things working against me that you just kept trusting your instinct, saying, I've got to make myself better. I'm not staying in the comfortable place. I've got to go to find the uncomfortable to shed this part of me that no longer serves me, this ego part that needs to leave. And you did it. Like you did it. And it's why you are the man that you are today, and why you inspire all of us every morning when you pop on social media and give us words of wisdom, because I know every day when I see your smile and your face and you say something that's whatever, no matter what kind of mood, even if I'm ready to conquer the day, but sometimes I'm in a place where I'm just feeling some feels or whatever's going on in life. And every day you put me on the path. When I log on, it's like, all right, I got this, man. I got it. All right, let's go.
Exactly.
Let's do this.
And so it's funny. So I started doing those videos, this like the good morning motivational, whatever you want to call it, right? Just a happy post. So everybody thinks you have to do big things, right? To change the world. Like you have to do these big fucking things. You don't. It really comes down to basic humanity, right? Hello, good morning. How are you doing? A high five. Just to being a little excited, right? So my job as a personal trainer, as a father, is to lead by example, right? To be high energy, to that be like to motivate people to be work hard, right? So I literally started those videos because I'll be honest with you, I'm normal. I'm a human being. I'm a human being. I don't like getting up early. I don't like working every day, long hour days. And I work long hour days. So I psych myself up. I psych myself up. That's what I'm doing. I'm psyching myself up. When I say good morning, we're gonna conquer the day. When you hear me go, rah, thinking that's me psyching myself up for the day, right? Like, here we go. Listen, we're gonna do this. We're gonna get through this. We're gonna make this happen, and we're gonna own the day, right? It goes back to that thing about fake it until you make it, right? Fake it till you believe it, right? But yeah, no, I would have never thought in a million years that me saying good morning or hi would go viral like that. It's crazy. It's so crazy.
But it's exactly what you said though. These little things that are big things, these little acts of kindness. I actually put a post up the other day about it. It was like World Mental Health Day. I don't know, like last week or
I
no,
saw that, yeah.
yeah. And I put a post up about it, and it was just kind of like, everybody's, you never know what's going on in somebody's life. You never know what's hiding behind a smile. You never know what little thing that somebody is holding down inside to just get through the day. And a little smile, holding the door for somebody and saying good morning, like you said, a high five, just something that's so little, telling, hey, you look pretty today. Hey, look at those muscles from the gym. Hey, like those little compliments and things that we negate to do in life, they mean so much. And like we need to
So
get back
how funny
there.
is that? How funny is that, right? That do you have any children?
Yes, I have one son,
Okay.
17.
All right, cool, awesome. So as a
Chris
parent,
also.
love the name. Good choice. I'm gonna be biased. Begin.
Best name.
But as a parent, we reassure our kids all the time. Right? For the smallest things. It's amazing you did that. It's amazing you did that, right? For some reason, as adults, we forget to do that for each other, right? And those little simple things, like I tell my clients all the time, man, like I'm my clients know me well enough, or anybody knows me, Jim, I'll call you on your shit. Like if you came in bloated because you've been out drinking, I'm gonna tell you, look bloated, you've been out drinking, right?
What?
Freaking but at the same point in time, when you're on your path and you're consistent, you're doing well, I'm the first one to notice. I'll be the first one to tell you, man, you look amazing. You're killing it. You're doing a great job. And even though at the end of the day, like most of those people don't talk to me outside the gym. Like we're not friends, I would say we hang out. Every day they look for me at that gym. Every day they look for me because I know when they see me, I'm going to give them high energy and pump them up. I have so many people come up to me that tell me, they go, man, just so you know, I'm just inspired being around you because I see how hard you work and I see your energy and how happy you are and enjoying life. I do. Like, I love life. I love every day. I love every experience. I look at it for what it is. We are not created to prove ourselves. We're created to be a part of the universe of it, to live it, to experience it, to enjoy it. One of the things I realized on my trip when I would see like a row of ants or a deer, walking in a trail, or I'd see a tree that was growing out of a big boulder that had no reason to be growing out of a big boulder, right? Is that that tree, that seed, when it fell in that crack of that giant boulder, didn't think, oh, it's so dark, it's so cold, I can't grow. It did. It grew. Not only did it grow, but it grew huge and it cracked that rock. It didn't let those obstacles see it, right? Those ants, when they were walking in their path, didn't let the obstacles stop them from going to their goal. The same with the deer. They didn't let things stop them. My son showed me that. I took my son on a 7 mile trip on the Appalachian Trails. And it was a hard trail. We went up this thing called the Stone Steps that nobody goes up because it's hard. And there was trees that were down. There's huge boulders. My son sat there and didn't look up once and say, "I can't do that."
That's
He just
awesome.
found a path. He just went, right? Those are all things as a child. We don't see the obstacle, right? We just see the goal as a child, right? We just, the tree's down, there's a crack there. Okay, I'm gonna jump over this, I'm gonna climb over that. They don't see the obstacle, right? So as adults, we need to do the same. We need not see the obstacle, but see the goal. I have no idea how I'm gonna get rich and famous and everything else. I'm not sure I'm gonna build this generational wealth for my kids. I don't know how I'm gonna do this, but it's
You're gonna,
happening.
it
It's
is.
happening, right? It's all happening right now, right? I never knew how I was going to do it. Like, I had a friend of mine, a beautiful lady, an actress, tell me that, she waited years to sit at the table. And she says that I'm kicking the door in and I'm getting there already, right? And I told her, I said, "Man, it's not about sitting at the table. It's about making my own, that people want to sit at my table. You know what I mean? That's what I want. It's about making my own table. I want my own big table that everybody wants to come and sit at with me. I don't need to sit at anybody else's table. You know what I mean? So again, like, if you take anything from this whole podcast, anything I'm saying at all, just understand that you literally, honestly, God's truth. There's no secret. There's no superpower. You have the ability by the choices you make to change your world by the perspective of you living it, by the words you say to yourself. That's it.
150%. And I know, and it's so simple, but it's so, I don't want to say complicated. It's just you have to have the mindfulness and the awareness to say, to realize when you're doing it, when you have a thought that comes up that's negative or that's, I can't, no, I can't means I won't. Like, no, absolutely. Like, we're doing it. This is positive. We're speaking it into existence. And I think that mindset and just that awareness and being able to have that shift when we get ourselves in a place where something is bringing us down, something seems too hard in life, we can't get through this obstacle. No, it needs to be, we're going to get through it. We're going to get whatever around it, over it, whatever it is. And then we're going to be better than we were before we were around it. And we're going to be stronger because we got through that obstacle. And it just is, it just has to be that mindset. And I know for me, that sometimes can be challenging. It's easier at other times, but I think the biggest thing too, which you were talking about earlier, is gratitude. And it comes down to that, at least for me, whenever I'm feeling a negative thought, as soon as I start to have a negative thought and I'm like, no, I just think of five things that I'm grateful for. And even like you were saying, like I have a comfortable warm bed that I'm getting into, or a warm, roof over my head, and a healthy sun, and all of these things that I can't be upset about this because I have these things. So it's just important to be able to make that shift, because it's easy to get in the dark place. It's easy to get in the sad place, the lonely place, the frustrating place, whatever obstacle that we're, that's in our way in life. And I think that you summed it up perfectly. It's just knowing that we have that power to
It's
change our future.
self-awareness is what it is. It's self-awareness. It's self-awareness, and wanting to take accountability, right? Like right now, to see the climate of everything, everybody wants to blame politics. They want to blame the government. They want to blame, the everything under the sun. Everybody wants to blame everybody for everything. But nobody wants to sit back and go, "All right, what can I do?" Like I made that comment all the morning. I started making that comment right after I believe in you. If you want a better world, it starts with you. And work on you and become a better person. Because like the moment I started focusing on me, and wanting to be a better person for me, everybody else benefited from that.
Yeah.
Everybody I love benefited from that. One of my good friends, Dr. Richard Majerus, great guy, loved the guy to death, man. One of my clients, one of my good friends, owns a bunch of urgent cares. There was a time when I was training him that I was combative with everybody. I was combative with the people at work. I was combative with the person I was dating. I was very combative with everything that was going on in my life. It was always a struggle. It was a fight. And it's only going back a year ago, right? And he looked at me and goes, "Chris, it's the energy you're putting out there. You're putting out this energy of aggression and anger and unhappiness because you're unhappy with something with you." And I sat there and I thought about it. I'm like, "Wow, he's right. I'm putting energy out there, right? I'm fighting with everybody because I'm looking for a problem to fight with people, and they're looking for a problem to fight with me because I'm putting it out there." And honestly, God, the moment I shifted, I said, "You know what? I'm going to focus on being happy. I'm going to focus on being open to opportunities. I'm going to focus on just me doing what I need to do for me, and not let any of those outside negativity things distract me from what my goal is, right?
Yes.
Everything's shifted. Everything's shifted. Everything's, my life is better now than it's ever been. My son lives with me. I can become more grateful for
I
that.
love it.
My social media is taking off. My book's taking off again, which is crazy. And the podcast, like I said, is the Advice and Filter podcast is taking off too. And again, it's nothing. There's nothing different about from me to you. The only difference is the choices we make, right? The energy we put out there. I say I believe in you, and what's funny is I say I believe in you, and I truly mean this. Like Courtney, when I tell you I believe in you, I believe the best in you. I truly mean that because I see me in you, right? I see me in you, and I know if I can do it, you can fucking do it too, right? And I say those things, but when I say that, the reverse effect of all that is people believe in me. And it actually creates this energy that
Yes.
compels you to move further, right?
It does.
So I think if people really want to change, if they really want a better life for themselves, start with those basic things, being grateful, and doing acts of kindness, random acts of kindness. People always say, Chris, you're always so kind, you're always out of your way to help people. And I do. I go out of my way to help people every day, strangers, the whole nine. I'll do whatever I can to pay it back, right? I do all that. But here's the truth. When you're doing acts of kindness, it is one of the most selfish things you could possibly do for yourself, because one, it lets you know you matter, right? You made a difference, and the feeling you get when you help somebody else is, and you did something good, it's priceless. It's priceless. So as much as me helping other people out, at the end of the day, knowing that I made a difference in somebody else's life, even with somebody I didn't know, it makes me feel amazing, right? And that feeling that it makes you feel amazing helps me do more videos and do more things to project that energy out there to help others, and then hopefully it's like a butterfly effect and everybody just kind of says hi. Good morning,
No, but it's simple and it's effective and it's real. And you can see that you're sincere in it. I feel your energy when you say good morning and hello. I feel it, and I hope you feel my energy in the universe back and all of your other followers that you're saying it to that are watching and listening, because you're creating a ripple effect of positive energy. And like you just said, it's what we need more of in this world. Our world is a climate right now that it's never been in, where everybody is so divided and everybody wants to look for something to argue about or nitpick about or what's wrong with the situation instead of
But
what's
you see
right.
that right there, what you just said right there is it so divisive right now? Is it so divided? Is it really? Or is it just the perspective of what we're seeing it, right? Because here's the thing. Everybody talks about, you hear the end of days. You hear this worst government we've ever had. It's the worst time we've ever had in the world. And God's honest truth, it's always been like this.
Right?
It's always been like this. There's always been controversy in government. There's always been somebody being oppressed. There's always a death that shouldn't have happened. There's always this stuff. It's always been going on for millennia, right?
Yeah.
The only difference is that we're more aware of it, right? So
Social media, and it's
social
right
media and
there.
everything else, right? So it's in your face more, right? But it's also in your face more because you're watching it more, right? You're sharing it more. You're liking it more. You are what you eat,
Yep.
what you read,
Yep.
what you watch, and what you listen to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to make the world seem like it's a, and I'm not saying you have to live in a bubble. But I'm saying all those outside things that are coming at you, do they really make a difference in your life? And do they really make a difference? No, they
No, they
don't.
don't.
My neighbor being a Democrat or Republican doesn't really affect how I'm living my life. You know
Me,
what I mean? I
same
shouldn't hate
here.
them because of that,
Same here. Same here.
Yeah.
My parents will say, my dad will be like, "Why are you not on the news on?" I'll come in and I'm like, "Because I don't, I know what's going on, but I don't, if I can't change those big things, so I'm not going to worry about them and try. But what I can change is my small bubble of world, and I can be positive when I go outside to my neighbors and wave and say hi when I'm walking the dog and holding the door for somebody and doing my little acts of kindness. I can change the world and I can help
Yeah.
people in that capacity. But sitting, watching, and worrying about something that's not even, relevant to anything I can do other than worry, that's
Yeah.
nope.
No,
I
don't have energy for that. You know what I mean?
right?
And again, when we give energy to that stuff, it makes our world seem less valuable, right?
Yes.
It seems like it's less valuable. So I
Yes.
say all the time, man. And again, what you said there is being kind to your neighbors, all this stuff like there. I think what we forget too as adults is that we need to be the example for the next generation, right? That if we want a better world, if we truly want a better world, that we need to be as adults more compassionate, more understanding, and also not be afraid to stand up for things that are right. Right? We need to also set those boundaries, those moral standards, right? And I'm not saying everybody has to agree on that, but I'm saying there has to be some kind of understanding, right? And I think if we want a better world, we as parents need to set better examples,
100%.
of the world we want, right? Do we want a world that our kids are leaving comments on people's posts where they're being mean for no reason, right? Do we want a world where the coach is getting yelled at or the referee's getting yelled at by parents on the sideline and they're fighting? Do we really want to lead? And that's the thing. Like, again, it goes back to accountability. As an adult, are you going to be held yourself accountable for being that example for the next generation? Like, I know for a fact, the example I'm leaving for my kids is going to be a fucking good one. I have no doubt about that in my mind. Any woman that's been easy enough to get one of my kids' hearts are going to be taken care of, and they'll be good people because I set the right example. I bet my kids. My kids have read my book. My kids have known everything that I've gone through, and everything, and they are more proud of me than they've ever been, right? And they know the example I set is a good one for everybody. It's not just about me, but it's a good example for everybody. How to be a good father, how to be a good man, how to be a good person, and just be a good human. Is always my thing. Like, I just think people just need to be, I don't know. That's my thing.
No, I had this conversation with my son the other day and it sounded very similar. And yeah, it's about the things that matter and focusing on the things that you can change. And every day when he walks out the door, the last thing I say is smile, make somebody smile today, make somebody laugh today. Like, go make your mark in the world, right? Like, go do it.
I never forget when I said hi to this guy in Georgia. I was training a rugby team, and we were playing sevens in Savannah. And this guy walked by, and I was like, "Good morning, sir." And he literally stopped, and he goes, "Wow. That was really nice." Like, thank you. I was like, "You're welcome." I was like, "Have a good day." He's like, "Thank you." He's like, "You too." And I was young. I was in my 20s when that happened. I never forgot that because I literally that moment that took me 3 seconds. How you doing, man? Good morning.
Right?
Changed that guy's whole day. He
It's so
felt
easy.
seen. He felt validated. He felt like well, that was really and it changed. And I guarantee he went on that day. And it's that simple. So again, if you want to talk about changing the world. You want to change about, talk about, being a creator. You have that ability on a scale to change the world that you live in by the example of the choices you make and by the perspective of you see it in it. Do you want it to be a good world or do you want to be a world divided and angry and blah, blah, blah? The only difference between a superhero and a villain is the choice they make, right? They both born out of trauma, both born out of tragedy. One decides to burn the world, the other one decides to save the world. Who do you want to be? I want to be the one that saves it. So
All
that's
right.
what
Well, this is a
I
good way to wrap things up. So your
said.
post the other day was Batman versus Superman. Talk about that for a hot second. And I'm gonna say, hello, Batman. Totally Batman.
Totally Batman. Totally Batman. Or Superman's dad. Yeah, that was pretty funny. Yeah, I get that all the time, man. I would love to play Batman. I think I should do Batman's voice. I would love that.
All you
That'd
need to
be
do is like
great.
take it down into like a little bit of like a whisper, like you need a cough drop, like a little bit.
Oh, I can do that.
Oh my gosh, like you're got like you're in.
I
It's
like
not even a
that. I can do
competition.
that. Yeah, I can totally do that. Totally do that. I'd be all about that. I would love that. I would love that. I'm a huge DC comic book guy, Marvel guy. Yeah, I would love that. Yeah, it was funny. Yeah, that post in the you want to talk about the men's post quick.
Yes.
Yeah,
Let's
so the
yes. Your definition of a man. So Chris put a post up on social media the other day that stopped me in my tracks, and you talk you it stopped me because it was so powerful because it really discussed on how the spectrum is so large on what it means to be a quote unquote man for the people that are listening and not watching. But tell your post.
Yeah, so I've had a bunch of people, a bunch of men reach out to me from all ages, right? From younger age to men my age, from all over the world recently. Tell me thank you for being an example of what a good man is, and tell me that. Like my one friend that's in Canada told me that he's afraid to let his masculine side out because he's afraid he's going to get judged and criticized and kind of attacked. Which is weird, which is scary to me, which is nuts because the world needs men. I think As much as the world needs strong women, right? And you say, well, there's that question, that age-old question of what's a woman? A woman is defined by, what she chooses to be, right? A woman could be anything she wants to be. I truly believe in that. Like, I have a friend of mine, Jess, who is a core instructor. Girl jacked. She's in phenomenal shape, and it was crazy to me how many women like started attacking her, saying that, oh, that's not a feminine body. You don't look feminine. You're missing a penis, for all this stuff. And I'm like, wow. I mean, that's crazy to me that women are saying this. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, the whole point behind feminism, right, is that you want to be able to express yourself any way you want as a woman, right? You have that freedom. If you want to be jacked, you can be jacked. If you want to be fat and lazy, you can be fat and lazy. If you want to be a doctor, a lawyer, you can do all those things, right? And I don't hear anybody telling you can't. So I think it's crazy to me that people would come at other people like that when really the definition of a woman is whatever she defines herself to be, right? So I feel like men should have the same freedom. Men somewhere along the lines, the word masculinity got confused with abuse, right? Freaking, people think that a strong man is somebody that's abusive, that's racist, that's closed-minded, and that's not true. Right, it's not true at all, and it's hypocritical. It's totally hypocritical, right? So, a real man is defined by what he chooses to be, just like a real woman is defined by whatever she chooses to be. She has that freedom, and a real man, any man, has that choice to be whatever man he chooses to be. Just like if a woman chooses to be all those things, and she's not hurting anybody. Right, she's not forcing anything down anybody's throat. She's not telling them to have to act a certain way, but she's doing this for her to show her strength and pride in who she is. That's a bad bitch. We support that, right? That's
Yes.
Queen Bee right there, right?
Oh.
The same should happen for men. The exact same thing should happen for men. Men should be able to
Absolutely.
be masculine. I there's two guys. There's two guys I follow that literally will tell you their voice is as deep as mine, if not deeper. That they tell you that when they're in a crowded area or when they're talking about work, they raise the octave of their voice. So they don't seem like they're coming across too stern, or the people are offended by the way they speak, which again is crazy to me, right? So you're telling me that a man has to put a mask on to be able to be accepted by society. Then we're going to question why men are hurting themselves because they're not allowed to be themselves. They're not allowed to have an identity, right? Society's telling them what their identity should be, which is very hypocritical. If I would be telling a woman as a man what society should demand a woman should be, or even if we want to get into the LGBT thing, if we let society define what the LGBT community should be, that's not right, right? That's not fair. So that's not fair. That's hypocrisy, right? So the same thing for men. Men should have the same freedom. They should have the same freedom to be masculine, to want to open the door for a woman, to want to buy dinner. To want to do those things that chivalry hasn't died, right? And to be the father, to be the breadwinner, to be the guy who fixes things, to be the guy who's not afraid to cry, right? At a scene or upset about something, like, right? Men should have all those freedoms, to have all those feelings, and be accepted as a man, and not be made to feel like whatever man they are trying to be is toxic. Again, that whole word toxic, I'll throw it right back out there with the unicorn thing. Toxic, just because you use that word doesn't mean it defines what a man is. It's just like a unicorn. No, unicorns aren't real. Just because you put a word in front of it doesn't make it real. It doesn't make it reality. It doesn't. So you can't define, and then nobody should be telling anybody what a man is, but men should have the freedom to be the man they want to be. And that was my whole post. That's what I really think. And I think that's one of the reasons that, and again, I'll be honest with you, I was hesitant about making it because I was like, man, people are going to get pissed. They're going to come at me and fucking think I'm trying to. And that's the thing. I'm not putting anybody down. I'm
No.
not saying men are better than women. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that equally, we should have the same freedoms, the same choices to be whatever man we want to be, and women should have the same choice to be whatever type of woman they want to be supportive in that. We should support each other in that.
Absolutely. And to me, I wasn't a, I loved it. It actually was a breath of fresh air to me because it was just real. It was just absolutely real of like you said, the hypocrisy of it, where it becomes like this image of a man. It's almost like it's downplayed, or I don't know the right wording to use. You described it perfectly. I don't even need to re-describe what you said. You nailed it, but it happens way too much in society. And that kind of spirals into other things. And the last podcast guest that I had on, we talked a lot about that. And it was about, masculinity, and his business is about, like, he helps men with testosterone and things like that. But it was kind of like a, but there's that side of it. But it's also like, you should be allowed to cry when you want to cry. You should be able to watch that Hallmark movie and cry, or you should be able to hey, that experience really got me when I was down and out, and I was on my path, and it all just came in alignment, and everything just came together. And wow, you're allowed to have all those feels and still be a big, tough, strong Batman boy.
And still be considered a man, right?
Yes.
So I have that freedom to be a man, you know,
Yes.
and that was really what my post is about, is that I think, you know, especially being a father of two boys, right? I want my boys to have an identity. I want them to feel like they have the freedom to have an identity, right? If they want to be fathers, they should have the freedom to be the father they want to be. If they want to be husbands, you know, boyfriends or whatever, they should have the freedom, you know, to express themselves and be the men they want to be, and not feel like because they have an opinion or they set a boundary or they said no or they cried, then all of a sudden they're not a man. All of a sudden there's something wrong with them. You know, they're toxic narcissists and all this stuff. Everybody likes to gaslight. All of a sudden, everybody's a psychiatrist, and everybody like thinks they can diagnose people, right? I get called a narcissist all
What?
the
You're like
time.
the furthest thing from.
Oh, I know. Trust me, I know. I get called a narcissist all the time, and I get told I'm full of myself. When people tell me I'm full of myself, I'm like, you're right. I'm like, it'd be weird if I was full of somebody else. That would just be weird. I was like,
I
freaking,
think
just
you're
be
like
full of
so
myself.
humble. I think you're so humble when we're talking about, I mean, that's, I
It's
don't,
funny,
I don't
right?
think
But
that's
people
humble.
like to throw those words out there, right? Because they see a strong, confident male, right? They see somebody who's comfortable in their skin, and they're not, right? They're not. And I just wanted to let those guys know that reached out to me, they're not alone, and that they have the freedom, man. They have the right, they have the ability, because the world needs us, like it does. You know, the world. Listen, our country, our whole society, doesn't matter where you're at, was never built off of weak men or weak women. It was built off a community of strong people who weren't afraid to make those choices to make a difference, right? It takes courage, you know. It takes being confident in one's skin to really make a difference in the world today that we live in, right? So I just wanted to let those guys know that they're okay to be okay. It's okay to be okay. Yeah, that's it. It's okay to be okay.
I love that. I love it. Well, I love this. This was such a great episode. I'm going to put all of your information in the show notes. So I will have the link for all of our listeners to your book to purchase on Amazon. You guys have to
Thank
read
you.
it. It's amazing. It was just, I mean, you just need to read it. Just go get it. Just please just do it. You will not be sorry. And then your podcast, Advice Unfiltered, which just got, it was number one for the, was it the Listener's Choice?
Listener Choice Award, which is amazing because what's great about that is we were a week behind in voting. Like, we didn't know about it, so we're a week behind.
Yeah.
Everybody else we competed with was a big time podcaster. You know, like they had a whole studio. They were backed by Warner Brothers. There were some really big names. Like the one girl that we competed against, she had like 159,000 views on one post. But what was amazing about it, this is what I love about it, and this is why I knew we were going to win that award anyway, was because of the listener. It was you guys. You guys voted. You know, you guys came through and you guys voted, and you showed that the show really matters, and it really makes a difference. And to that, I'm very grateful. I'm very humbled. So the award, really, we didn't win it, but you guys did. You know, you guys won it because you guys showed up. You know what I mean? Which is amazing. It was funny because I told Tony we did a podcast that night before we found out the results, and I kept telling him like we won, and he kept saying no, we got second, and his son kept going, we got second, and we did. We got second for overall, right? We got the silver for overall, which is fine because again, we were against huge competitors, right? And the judges voted on that, but
Amazing.
what we won was the listeners won, and I told him we were going to win, and he didn't believe me. And he called me. It was 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm training my client. He called me, and I didn't look. I was saying, I literally, so this is me. I test myself sometimes, right? In this whole faith and believing thing, I test myself. I'm like, all right, listen, I believe this show's going to be number one. I believe this show's going to make it. It's going to be huge, right? I believe Now we're going to travel with the show around the world and do live audiences and all this stuff. And I think we're going to be on a network. I truly believe all that, right? So if I truly believe, this is me testing it, but I truly believe that I believe we won this award. I believe. I didn't question it. Not one time did I doubt it. So when Tony called me, I had no idea if we won or not. I put him on speaker. I had my clients sitting there. I'm like, here we go, right? Let's see if it works. So I go, what's up, Tony? He goes, we won. I go, I'm sorry, the gym's really loud, Tony. What did you say? He goes, we won. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. He goes, we fucking won, baby. And I was like, I knew we won. I knew we won. I told you we were gonna win. You know what I mean? Because so I literally was testing that whole thing, right? Because I knew that if it came down to it, man, that we built such a community, that I built a huge community, that me and Tony built a huge community with the podcast together, that really cared about what we're doing, you know. And again, you know, the show's about you guys. That's what it's about. It's about you guys. So.
I love it. I love it. I'm so proud of you guys. I'm so happy, and it's great. It's great. And again, making an impact for each and every listener. Like you said, we won because you every time you do an episode and you talk about all of these awesome topics that the world needs to hear, you're just changing one life at a time. So,
Thank
you
you.
know,
Appreciate
thank you
you.
for what you do.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate you.
I am so happy. Thank you for being on. And again, everybody, show notes will have the book, the podcast link, everything will be there for you to check it out.
Awesome.
All right, have a good night.
You too. Thanks, Gordy.